Welcome to Today on Broadway for Monday, May 16th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
We really want to thank all of you for listening to this little experiment that James and I have been doing now for over 2 months. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. I know we've really enjoyed it, and we appreciate all of your feedback. So please keep it coming, especially with ratings and reviews on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Those things are super helpful to us. And as we continue to grow, it will help us get our shows out to a much wider audience. We are really, really excited for you guys to see where we're going next and for you guys joining us on this bumpy podcasting ride. So if you can, go over, rate 5 stars if you can, and review us on iTunes. And we'll keep bringing you as much great Broadway content as we can.
Thank you so much. Yes, we have really about 5,000, a little bit more than 5,000 downloads per day. You know, 15, 20 of you have rated us at iTunes, so that's really low percentage. So we want to get it up to 0.1%. Just get 50 of you out there to review us if you can. Really appreciate it.
All right, James, good plugs. Let's bring on the news.
So, Matt, have you been asked to be Grizabella and Cats yet?
No one wants to see me in spandex, James. As you all know by now, last week, the upcoming Broadway revival of Cats announced the majority of its casting, leaving out only the glamour cat Grizabella, whose casting they said would be announced soon. At the time, I just assumed that the omission was simply a little media trick to attempt to dominate the theatrical news cycle for 2 days rather than just one by announcing everybody in the same day. However, now it seems that there was more to the delayed announcement, as composer Andrew Lloyd Webber took to the UK's Economist radio airwaves to say that the former Pussycat doll Nicole Scherzinger, who, as we mentioned last week, was Olivier nominated for her role in The West End, had initially signed on to play the role on Broadway, but a week before rehearsals were to start, backed out to be a judge on the UK singing competition show The X Factor. Sir Andrew told the host that he was furious over her last-minute decision, and in typical ALW style, he got in a little dig at his former leading lady, saying in part, "I mean, she's crazy, but the American producers just took a view, well, we'll get somebody else, because she's not actually all that well-known in America, amazingly. She's much better known here," meaning in the UK. For her part, Scherzinger told the Radio Times in London, "I'm incredibly blessed to be given so many amazing opportunities, including Cats, but unfortunately we weren't able to make it work this time around. I adore and respect Andrew. I'm so grateful for our friendship and can't wait for the opportunity to create more magic together." That's what Patti LuPone said. Now, James, as interesting as that bit of Broadway soap opera gossip is, the question really has turned to who is going to take her place. And that's really been an extra little bit of a, you know, marketing boon for Cats, as it gets the conversation in the public consciousness even more than if they just announced Nicole Scherzinger. Do they go with someone who's more widely known as a pop culture star like Scherzinger is, or do they go another direction and stick with a solid Broadway actress or maybe someone who straddles that line? There's a ton of suggestions and rumors online. What do you think? Where do you think they should or will go?
You know, that Grizabella role just has to be able to sing the thing, but I think that there's a lot of support online. I've been reading that Jennifer Simard should be doing it. They keep on saying, put Jennifer on.
That's not what they're talking about, but that would be fine, too. They're talking about the Tony Awards. Ironically, that's not where they're going with that, although she would probably be very good at that as well.
Mm. So who are the sopranos that could do it? Laura Benanti, Kelly O'Hara, millions of other folks.
Well, what they're saying is that in the London version that effectively preceded this American Broadway production, they actually went with more of a belter for that role, which is where Scherzinger came in, and then Carrie Ellis took over, and I believe Beverly Knight. There's a lot of rumors online. Apparently, Lena Hall, who was actually a long replacement in the original long-running production on Broadway, just tweeted out the glamour cat Grizabella, so people automatically jumped on that she was going to do it. She went on to say that she was just quoting a part that she sang over and over in the show. A lot of people are pushing for Sara Ramirez, who hasn't been on Broadway since really she won a Tony for Spamalot and has been doing Grey's Anatomy ever since. That would be a great role to bring her back to the Great White Way. So who knows? A lot of great options. It's a role, as we've said, traditionally done by a soprano, been doing a little bit more as a by a belter in the West End lately. So it is really open to anybody who the American producers, and Andrew Lloyd Webber did say in that Economist interview that he is not a producer on this show, so he's not really technically involved in the casting process, although knowing Andrew Lloyd Webber, if there's somebody he wants, he can probably make that happen.
I have an idea. If you want to take Grisabella in a totally different direction, Leslie Kritzer.
Well, I don't know that that would be a terribly different direction. I mean, with all the makeup, I mean, she's supposed to be an older cat, but you can put on enough makeup. I mean, you know, but Nicole Scherzinger's not old. That would be great.
But you've never seen Grisabella as the funny cat.
That's true. She's supposed to be a little melancholy and a little sad thinking about all her memories. But Leslie Kritzer.
Could you see Leslie Kritzer getting on the tire, going through the roof?
But, you know, I mean, if you think about shows that she's done, like A Catered Affair, I mean, she was, you know, kind of funny in that show, but it was also a very emotionally wrought performance. So I think she's definitely got the chops to obviously sing it, but I think she can more than pull off the character as well. I like it. We know Robert Bridegroom ends at the beginning of or at the end of May, so she's available for the summer's run.
So, dear Evan Hansen, what's the rumor now?
Well, this won't exactly be a surprise to anybody who's been paying attention. Perhaps the delivery will be, but over the weekend, Tony-winning producer Stacey Mindich was speaking at the convocation for Syracuse University's S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications, where she announced that the Pasquin Paul musical Dear Evan Hansen, currently playing off-Broadway at the Second Stage Theater, would be transferring to Broadway. She didn't share any other details, but with the show only scheduled to run through May 29th, you would expect an announcement to be coming soon. Directed by Michael Mayer, this is a show that we all knew would eventually end up on Broadway. It being announced at a Syracuse convocation is not exactly where we thought we'd get that news, but not a surprise based on the really good reviews that the show is getting that it'll be on Broadway either this fall or in the spring sometime in the next season.
All right, what's coming up on the schedule this week?
Well, with Broadway settled into the awards schmoozing season, we are back on a semi-normal schedule for a few weeks with a handful of fairly high-profile off-Broadway openings this week. First is Pulitzer Prize winner Paula Vogel's new play Indecent at the Vineyard Theater, which opens tomorrow. The show was created by Vogel and Rebecca Taichman. Vogel wrote the play and Taichman directs. In a lot of ways, the play seems to be kind of a companion piece to Broadway's Shuffle Along as it looks back at a revolutionary early 1920s Broadway production and how it impacted the culture as a whole and the artists who worked on it. Indecent is inspired by the true events surrounding the controversial 1923 Broadway debut of God of Vengeance, a play seen by some as a seminal work in Jewish culture and by others as an act of traitorous libel. Indecent charts the history of an incendiary drama and the path of the artists who risked their careers and lives to perform it. The show runs through June 12th at the Vineyard Theater. Then on Wednesday, The Ruins of Civilization opens at Manhattan Theater Club. This world premiere by Penelope Skinner stars Tim Daly, Orla Cassidy, Rachel Holmes, and Roxana Hope. The play is set sometime in the future where Dolores and Silver, which are Holmes and Daly's characters, are married and living within the constraints of a new world order until Dolores invites a stranger into their home. The play explores our need for free will and connection, even in a world on the brink of extinction. The Ruins of Civilization is currently scheduled to run through June 5th at MTC. Next on Thursday, Dominique Morisseau's Skeleton Crew will reopen at the Atlantic Theater's Linda Gross Theater. Earlier this season, the show had a sold-out run at the company's Stage 2. The show will now have another limited run through June 19th. The play, the third in Morisseau's Detroit trilogy, focuses on a makeshift family of workers at the last exporting auto plant in the city on the brink of foreclosure. The first two plays in the series, Detroit 67 and Paradise Blue, have won awards and acclaim, and actor-director Ruben Santiago Hudson directs Skeleton Crew as he did in the original incarnation.
So the New York Times brought us some interesting news about Hamilton tickets being canceled.
Yeah, last week while, James, you and I were recording our Thursday show, it was Wednesday night, and we saw that Hamilton, the show, not the person, tweeted out that they were making a new block of tickets available for purchase later on Wednesday night, right after we got that tweet. As we predicted on our Thursday show, by the time the episode was released, all of those tickets were gone. But on Friday, the New York Times' Michael Paulson wrote an article about where those new tickets came from, because it seemed kind of odd that they just all of a sudden popped up in a in a real quick sale that nobody was anticipating. Apparently, those tickets came from canceled Ticketmaster purchases from suspected scalpers and ticket resellers. The producers have in place a 14-ticket limit for any 7-day period, so when those limits are violated, they have the ability to revoke the purchases and refund the money paid. That's where those tickets came from for the pop-up sale on Wednesday night. Scalping and reselling tickets has been a huge issue for Hamilton's Broadway run, far more than it has been for other juggernaut shows in the past for a number of obvious reasons. But the show and the producers have created such an incredible demand that those who can afford it will always be willing to pay whatever they have to get their hands on such a limited supply.
Yeah, so it's interesting because producers get daily reports from whatever service you're using, Telecharge or Ticketmaster, and you can pretty much pick out from these reports and drill down and be able to see, oh, you know, this person's buying 20, 30 tickets a day every day to see the show. They must be a really big fan.
Well, with Hamilton, I could actually believe it. But, you know, we've talked about this before, James, on this show, that Hamilton is such a weird thing. One, because of when it happened. Even, you know, Book of Mormon, which was the last show to be this huge kind of cultural juggernaut for a Broadway musical, the 5 or 6 years since that show opened, or maybe not even 4 or 5 years since that show opened, a lot has changed in our media and our technology to where people are willing to pay these exorbitant amounts of money. And as far as I'm concerned, I would much rather the producers make all that money rather than them making their normal amount and then some scummy secondary ticket market, you know, and scalpers making a huge profit on stuff and making it more difficult for regular theater buyers to buy the tickets.
So after this tweet announcement went out and we were recording, as soon as we finished recording, I jumped on the Ticketmaster and tried to get a couple of Hamilton tickets, and I stopped short of making the purchase because it seemed like I was on the Ticketmaster website was paying $200 to $300 a seat, and I was like, I can't believe that they have just for, you know, rear of the orchestra, you know, mezzanine seats in that $200 to $300 range. I said, you know what, I'd rather do this somewhere else. But the other aspect of this is that producers all along for many, many years have been able to enforce policies like the 14-ticket limit in any 7-day period, or, you know, they can basically make up any parameters, but have chose not to do it so far. So it's interesting that this has happened, and I wonder about any pushback or anybody who feels as though that they have tickets that are all of a sudden canceled, how they will deal with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
So let's move forward. We have more television announcements for theater people on TV.
Yeah, last week I told you about a slew of TV cancellations and pickups at the major networks and how they impacted some of our favorite theater stars. Well, on Friday and over the weekend, we learned about a few more. NBC has picked up Tina Fey's new show, Great News, which will star Tony winner Andrea Martin. And then we got a bunch of news from CBS. First, they picked up the new show, Bull, which, I kid you not, is based on the early career of Dr. Phil. The pilot star Geneva Carr and Christopher Jackson. The network also ordered the Katherine Heigl legal drama Doubt, which has no relation to the John Patrick Shanley play of the same name, but the show will star Stephen Pasquale, Laverne Cox, Dulay Hill, and Elliot Gould. And finally, for now, CBS also picked up a spinoff of their recently ended hit The Good Wife, which will focus on two-time Tony winner Christine Baranski's Diane Lockhart. Cush Jumbo will also reportedly recreate her Good Wife role on the show, but what's interesting about this is that it will not air on CBS, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Instead, it will exclusively stream on CBS's on-demand subscription service, CBS All Access. Kind of an interesting choice there. Nothing has been made official in terms of that, but as I mentioned on Friday, we are coming up on all of the networks' upfronts this week, so we'll probably get a lot more clarification when they announce their fall schedules this coming week. And I would also expect for us to get official dates for Fox's Rocky Horror broadcast and ABC's Dirty Dancing adaptation as well at the upfronts.
Okay, so let's get into our reading recommendations.
Yeah, it's always nice to start the week with a few good theater articles to read. Last week, we didn't really talk about this because it wasn't really a news article. It was much more of a It's kind of a hit job. Michael Riedel, as is often his wont, he put out an article last week talking about how much better he thought that Heather Headley was in the role of Shug Avery in The Color Purple than Jennifer Hudson. Not only did he say it from his own perspective, but from other people involved and around the production. Now, we didn't really talk about it when the article came out because there wasn't really any news in there. But James, you and I have both heard from people close to the production that Jennifer Hudson was really well liked by her cast, and while she might not have the stage chops of Heather Headley, I don't think anyone was disappointed by her performance in the show.
Yeah, I think she was really well liked, in that it was unfortunate that one tweet really got out of hand. Yeah. And Lord knows, I'm very thankful there was no Twitter when I was younger, because nobody does more stupid things than me before noon. You know, it's an unfortunate tweet that she had, that Jennifer Hudson had sent out, but that the cast had a wonderful going away party for her after her last performance in The Color Purple, and we look forward to seeing her again on Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that tweet that she sent out after not getting a Tony nomination, talking about being used for her star power rather than her talent, I'm not sure if that was more directed at The Color Purple or at the Tony nominations. But I don't know anybody who doesn't think that Jennifer Hudson is ungodly talented. Like, I don't know anybody who thinks that fame and talent are mutually exclusive in this case. So I have no doubt that she will be back on Broadway. She's obviously doing the Hairspray live production this December. So the more times we can get her in musical theater type performances, the better off we'll be.
So if you could be a fly on a wall and observe two people talking, One thing that I would like to be the fly if it were Tony Kushner and George Wolfe.
Well, fortunately enough, these two luminaries, legends, icons in the theater world did an interview together for Interview Magazine. Ostensibly, it was Kushner interviewing Wolfe, but these two have worked together so many times, whether it was on Angels in America, Bringing a Noise, Bringing a Funk, Caroline or Change. They know each other so well, and they talk about what they've worked on together in their careers, what makes for good theater. It's a really fascinating article from these two incredibly creative minds. And if you want to know what it takes to be a theater artist and a theater creator, read this article. They have really great insights. I'd really recommend it.
Yeah.
I don't know if we said it. It's an Interview Magazine. We'll have the link in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a link to all these reading recommendations in the show notes as well. The New York Times did a great profile on Leslie Odom Jr.
They did. It's really cool because Leslie Odom Jr. is one of those guys who, I'll be honest with you, until he was on Smash, I didn't know who he was. But since then, he's kind of been omnipresent. He did a run on a TV show that I really like called Person of Interest. Then he did the, I think it was an off-center, encores off-center run of Tick, Tick, Boom with Lin-Manuel Miranda. And now he's obviously this huge Tony-nominated, Tony frontrunner star of Hamilton, and he talks about in this article about how he was very close to just giving up on acting after a pilot failed. He's got a really cool story about how he prepared for the role of Hamilton in Hamilton, and what he knew in his gut that this was the role that he had to have, and what he did to get it. And obviously, it's worked out for him because, like I said, he is the favorite to win the Best Actor in a Musical this year for playing Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr, sir.
Sir.
Also, I wanted to let the listeners know that there is a great little part one of a video series that our friends over at Broadway.com are doing called Broadway.com.
I'm missing
a word in there.
I'm not familiar with that.
You're not familiar with it. So, you know, I'll link to it in the show notes. It's a great little video on how they prepare for and what their war room is like for preparing for the Tonys, and they did the first episode on the announcements of the nominations and what that means. And it's really a great behind-the-scenes look at what they do at Broadway.com, which is an amazing website and full of amazing people, and we love them dearly.
Yeah, so, Leslie Odom Jr. is great. I'd really recommend that article. You can cut that out if you want.
You get us out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much. Please get over to iTunes to give us your ratings, and contact information for Matt and me is on the page at BroadwayRadio.com or today on Broadway.com. That's what happens when I record shows back to back. And we will talk to you soon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, in fact, Tuesday.